thank you all for being here. Hymn 34 as we begin tonight, Living by Faith. Stand if you would, everyone. I care not today what the morrow may bring, living by faith. 34, singing, I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The chorus singing, though tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, the scurry, the blindness of life, I never alarm at the overcast skies, the master looks on at the strife. Last verse, I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Jesus was close to my heart. Everyone singing,
living by faith.
Song to start off our Monday evening service of our stewardship conference. God bless you. Thank you for being here. I know that, the weekdays are a little bit tough on our folks because work schedules and traffic, things like that. Hopefully we'll have a few more coming in here shortly. But I want to thank you for being a part of the stewardship conference Monday evening. Now we have something for everyone. I gave you on Sunday a white stewardship card. But that wasn't really the stewardship card. This is actually the stewardship card. We had to pick them up from our printers today. We had a little bit of miscommunication with our printer. This is one that we've designed for those of us that are 50 and older. Because the way it's designed, it's actually a two-parter. The main part is the commitment card that you'll turn in. The smaller part is the part for you to fill in. And it's perforated so that you can detach it and take it home with you and stick it up somewhere so that you can remember what you committed to. And everybody said, hey, man, preacher, who thought of that? Somebody over 50. All right. So what we've got, our ushers are ready right now. We've got a new card for everyone. So ushers, come right ahead. And if you did not get a brochure, we printed up enough because several people said, preacher, can I have one? We printed up enough for everybody to have a brochure. So if you don't have a brochure, raise your hand. Okay, if you did not get a brochure, raise your hand, and we'll make sure that we'll get that. We'll need to make sure that we get the choir taken care of too. Guys, all right? So just hang on to this. Please don't turn this in. We'll take up commitments on Wednesday night and on Sunday, all right? So Wednesday night and Sunday, we'll pick these up. And when you do, you'll fill it out. And then the little perforated part right here is for you to detach it. And then you'll turn in the big part of the commitment card, keep the smaller part. I'll probably take mine, tear it off, put it in my wallet. Okay? That way I can remember from time to time. The ladies in the office said, preacher, when are you ever going to write the right amounts on your offering envelope? No amens, Mrs. Waits. They change about half the time. I get mixed up, and this is going to help me. You say, who came up with this? Somebody over 50? All right? This will help, I hope. And with that. But the stewardship brochure, please don't read that during the preaching. And we'll cover a little bit another ministry for you as we move on down the road. Again, thank you for being here tonight, church. God bless you. Find your hymn book, hymn number 9. We're going to move right on in the service. God can do anything but fail. Amen. Brother Reed, come back.
Great little chorus. Hymn 9, singing, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail.
He can save, he can heal, he can cleanse,
and he will. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the baddest of the longer I serve him.
Eight.
Number 13. You're singing well? And let's do our best. This will be our last hymn tonight. Really lift it up. Everyone singing.
Since I started the kingdom,
wonderful. Thank you and be seated, ladies' trio.
All right. Thank you, Brother Combs, for paying attention. And he saw me coming and flipped this mic back. I appreciate that. Let me just say quickly before our ladies' trio comes to sing how much I appreciate the message last night and practical application. And Dr. House, if you'll listen, he'll help you. And he'll help you in the area of stewardship. And the reason I enjoy having him back each year, I enjoy having a preacher that's practical. I enjoy having a preacher that's real. And I also enjoy having a preacher that practices what he preaches. And so after the trio comes to sing, it's our pleasure to have Dr. J.C. House on our second night here on this Monday of Stewardship Conference. You give him your undivided attention as he comes after the special.
When we see Jesus come.
when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go, if you'll go, if you'll go. In Jesus' name, it is well.
It is well
with my soul.
Thank you, ladies, for the good songs. I like to come to Trinity just to listen to the music. Such a relief. Yeah, it is. That's terrible, isn't it? It ought to be the same everywhere, in Baptist churches anyway. But it ain't. But I enjoyed that song, and I'd like to report to you. I look in the mirror and think, my soul, what has happened? But it is well with my soul. This outward thing's getting a little older, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Cheer up, my brother. We'll understand it all by and by. I want to give you some guidelines for giving tonight from the Bible. If you take notes, I want you to at least get the main subject of each little paragraph that I give you. It'll be real easy for the Bible college students. It'll just be two words in each one of them. Okay? And get them down. Study them sometime. They'll help you. Nothing profound, nothing new. A rehearsing of an old truth. Now, all of us know, if you have your Bible, and you might remain seated because I'm not going to read a passage of Scripture at all. But if you'll open to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it's hard to do much biblical teaching on New Testament giving without at least taking a look at the longest passage in the Bible on giving, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So I'll begin there in a verse in chapter 9 in a moment. I will remind you of what we all know. Any way you want to sugarcoat it, Christian giving involves money. Now, it involves a whole lot more. It's a lifestyle. It involves all of life, all of our time, all of our talent, all of our treasures, you know that. And the Bible has much to say about the way that you give. Years ago, I could never have imagined saying there's a wrong way to give, but there really is. There's a Bible verse that's familiar. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. And it's quite interesting. You know, a farmer can sow, and it doesn't matter what his motive is. A farmer can sow, and it doesn't matter what he's going to do with the crop. It just doesn't matter at all. When everything's done, he'll have a crop. But now, you and I can sow, and sow with our giving, and sow with the wrong motive. Listen carefully. God will still bless the gift, but he won't bless the giver. He'll bless the recipient and won't bless the one that gave it. So we have to be very careful about it. So I want us to look at some simple thoughts tonight. The preacher no sooner got on the platform than he and Sam worked together. They're a team. And they intimidated me. He said, "Now, Brother Sam, we want to be real short tonight." Well, he wasn't talking to Sam. You know, he was going right over me. I'm here. I'm there. Look at me and tell me. Cut it short. And Sam didn't do nothing but the same old. He didn't change nothing. Now I got to do all the cutting. Might as well stood at home. Bible guidelines for Bible giving. Number one only has one word: give. Now look, if you would, it's very important that you get it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Now, give. See, there's no exceptions. Isn't that interesting? No exceptions. Every man. Is that what your Bible says? Every man. It's a pitiful statistics out today. 4 out of 10 church attendees give nothing at all. Another 2 or 3 give very little, leaving 3 out of 10 to carry the load. 3 out of 10 give about 85% to 90% of all the giving that's done. That ought not be like that. That's not the way it is, you see. Because giving is a reminder to us that our life is about God and not us. It's so hard. It's so hard for me to get it. Maybe I live long enough to really get it settled. I know it in my head. I know it in my heart. I just need to get it all together. But giving reminds me, I'm not the point. God is the point. And we're going to have to get that. It is not about us. It's about God. God does not exist for me. I exist for Him. And I need to live like that. I own nothing. He owns everything. He's let me manage some of it. And so I give. Every person gives. That's the very first thought in guidelines for biblical giving, and that is that you give. Just give. Just get started. Now, you do understand that the tithe is not what you give. That's a debt you owe. And so the giving is above that. Bible guideline number 2. Give generously. Give generously. There's a lady. Now, I'm going to ask you to use your Bible a little bit tonight. I normally don't do that, and some of you went to sleep last night. And so I want you to use your Bible, if you would, and turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and a very familiar story. Mark chapter 14, it's that story of that woman that got that alabaster box of precious ointment, the most valuable thing she had in all the world, and lavishly poured it out on Jesus. It's in Mark 14. Now, there were some stingy religious folks there that rebuked her. Probably, and I'm pretty sure of it, they were just stingy Christians. And they rebuked her for that. They called it a waste. See, these religious tightwads, they like to control God's money. They don't want God in control of it. They want to control it. They'd like to control the church if they could. And so they just talked about it being a waste. I want you to come down here. Let me find my verse. Here's what Jesus said about it. He said, "Let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me." See, he said, "Now you fussing about what she gave. You're saying it's a waste. I'm telling you she did a good thing." Who are we going to listen to? Someone said, "Well, she didn't have to give it all." She sure didn't. Nobody told her to. Matter of fact, she didn't have to give any of it. She gave it because she wanted to. Jesus said, "That's a good thing." Matter of fact, he pushed it just a little bit further, you see. And he said, "She did something that's going to last forever. She'll have eternal rewards." Look down, if you would, to verse 9. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Well, what'd she do so wonderful to get an eternal memorial? She just gave generously. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. See, the more calculating a person is about their giving, the less they'll give. Every time. Those folks that want to figure the tithe down to the half penny and then round it down the half cent. That's no way to do it. You're not going to be much for God like that, see. True love generates generosity. Well, someone says, "Well, how much would I have to give to be generous?" Well, there is no one size fits all deal. You know, it's not like that at all. If you want to consider it, you might consider how much your house payment is, and how much your car payment is, and see if you're giving God that much. I mean, if you really want to consider what a generous gift would be, figure out what you're spending on yourself. You'll find that to be quite generous, and then be sure you do that for God. Now, that's not a rule. That's not in the Bible. That's what generosity is. When you do for others what you do for yourself. So you can understand that. And if you're here tonight and you've never tithed, for heaven's sake, start there. I mean, get that going, and then let God stretch your faith. And one day, all of a sudden, you find out that generosity is great. And you love being generous. See, but you've got to get past that tithe. See, that tithe is the test to see who you love, to see who you worship, to see who you thank for what you have. So, guideline number one is what? Give. Number two, give generously. Number three, and this is so simple I ought to be able to skip it, but I dare not. Give regularly. Regularly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you look at it. I know it's familiar, but I want you looking at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we look to verse 2. Well, we just get verse 1 and 2 because you're used to hearing them together. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we're talking about the third biblical guideline, give regularly. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let everyone, no exceptions, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You have to give regularly. And really, if you want to do it the Bible way, you have to do it every week. You say, I just get paid every month. You can divide by four. See, we need the tithe. The principle of the tithe is this. It is a reminder that the other 90% belong to God also. And we need that reminder every 7 days, or God wouldn't put it in here like that. Just the way it is, you see. But so many folks, you know, many Christians, I've already told you, many Christians don't give it all. And most who do so on a hit-and-miss basis. This is just ugly, isn't it? It's also factual. Hit and miss, you know. They miss when they go on vacation. They get sick and have the flu. They miss. It's interesting to me. Someone said, well, you can't help it. You can help it. Sure. Mail still runs. Matter of fact, knowing the staff here, all you have to do is call one of them. They'd come after it. Which would be a good thing. You need to get it turned in regularly. Someone says, oh, I'll make it up next week. Ha-de, ha-ha. Sure enough. Nope, first day of the week. Weekly reminder, the other 90% belongs to God. Preacher said it last night, you have to plan your giving and make it work. See, give God the first fruits, not the leftovers. I'll tell you what's interesting to me, since I'm on short chain tonight. Our folks in every church, except this one, of course, who will drop in a couple of thousand once or twice or three times a year and claim they're big givers. They're not the big givers. No, the big givers are those who, on the first day of every week, drop in the 100, the 200, the 300, the 500, every first day of the week. Those are the big givers. The others are blowhards that won't get their name in the bulletin. I'm sorry, but you know, you're supposed to tell the truth when you're up here. And that is the truth. Number three, third guideline. Number one, give. Number two, give generously. Number three, give regularly. Number four, give deliberately. Just do it on purpose. Do it. I mean, it ought to be deliberate. Someone said, what's the big deal about it? Because it is an act of worship. It's not about the money the way you think it is. And worship needs to be a contemplated, deliberate act, meaningful. I mean, this thing of the giving, that ought to be, oh my, that ought to be the high time of worship every time this church meets. When the offering doesn't have to be taken, it can be received. Enough of this taking it, see. And it's interesting, in today's society, and I know some of you do it. Matter of fact, I have some set bills that never change, you know, insurance, house insurance, and that kind of thing. Well, I have them on an automatic pay thing. That way, I don't have to think about it. It just comes time to do, they just take the money out, and I get the receipt in the bank statement. I kind of like that, you know. No problem. Don't even have to think about it. I tell you one thing I'm not ever going to sign up automatic pay for. I ain't never signed up for automatic pay on one of Wanda's birthday presents. I want her to know I thought about it. I want her to know I explored. I want her to know it was a big deal to me. It wasn't an automatic thing. I thought about it. I don't want to sign up for automatic pay when it comes time for me to worship God. I want him to know I looked at it. While I was signing it, I thanked God that I had it to give. I thought back to when I didn't love Him, and He still loved me, and He took care of me, and I thank Him again. I put it in that envelope many times, 99 times. I honestly can't remember the last time I put it in the offering plate. I'd love to. It's just like putting it in the hands of Jesus. But I have to put it in the hands of the U.S. Postal Service, and who knows what happens to it. But it gets there. And all the way through, it is a deliberate act of worship. We need to understand that, you see. Giving to God shouldn't be automatic. It shouldn't be without thought. It shouldn't be without prayer. It shouldn't be without worship. Give deliberately what God lays on your heart to give, and let it be a reminder that He provided everything you have so you can give that. Give. Give generously. Give regularly. Give deliberately. Give, number five, where we at? Give voluntarily. Voluntarily. Come back, if you would, now to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You ought to put your little stringy thing in there. We're going to keep going back. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 7, I'm talking about giving voluntarily. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, here we go, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. No, give voluntarily. Over there in Exodus chapter 35, and I'm not going to take the time to go there tonight, but the tabernacle's being built. There's a crowd that's never had a job that's paying for it. There's a crowd that never earned a dime paying for it. And the Bible says over and over and over. You might read it when you go home in Exodus 35, verse 21, and verse 26, and verse 29. The Bible says, and their spirit stirred up a willing heart. See? When you get the right spirit, you get a willing heart. And they gave willingly. You go read it over and over. They gave willingly. And of a willing heart, they gave. There's something in Exodus that I hadn't paid attention to until just today. And I want to show it to you. I didn't think I was going to for time's sake. And the further I go, the less I care about the time. Exodus chapter 36. I'd really like for you to look at it. I can't tell you how many times I've read the words right above it and how many times I've read over it, but I was in a hurry to get to something else. I want you to look at verse 3, Exodus chapter 36. It's talking about those people. Verse 3, and they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Free offerings. Nobody made them do it. Free offering, because they found something they wanted to give. They determined they were going to do it. They gave it voluntarily. Some say, well, the scriptures say that you've been reading says every man according as he purposeth in his heart. And Exodus talks about having a willing spirit. So based on these scriptures, then we ought not give it all if we don't feel like it. A lot of Baptists are into that. If we're not, we just give when we feel like it. And I appreciate your studious commentary on it, but nope. First of all, the tithe was never voluntary. It was a commandment. Number two, this was not a regular offering. This was a special one-time offering. It was a building fund offering. And they were not commanded to give. They gave of a willing heart. That's where the willing heart comes. See, the other part, that tithe part, that just calls for obedience. The giving calls for the willing heart. And to get that, you've got to have a right spirit. You can't come to church being out of shape and have a right spirit. You got to get everything straightened out here and go at it that way. Their spirit made them willing. And Paul was not talking about the regular operating expenses here. He was talking about that special offering. When it comes down now to the regular operating expenses of the church, you'll find it in Malachi chapter 3. They said, how have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. So there are some tithes and offerings commanded, and then there are the special ones where you are invited. And those are the ones you get the big blessing out of. Need to understand that and realize it, you see. And you know, it's an interesting thing to me. I need to drop down to this next one. I want you to think about it a little bit. Not only should we give voluntarily, we ought to give excellently. Excellently. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 now and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7. I'd like for you to see the verse. I'm talking about giving excellently. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Therefore, as you abound in everything. Oh, we ran by that word, abound. As you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace of giving also. Abound. It means to excel. We are to mature into excellent givers. Bible giving is like playing the piano or the organ. It's a learned talent. An amazing thing. The more you practice, the better you get. You say, well, I'm not into this giving. You ought to practice it a while. Might learn to like it. Trouble is, nobody likes to practice. They all want to play the piano. They just don't want to have to practice. And we all want the blessings of God. We just don't want to have to practice to get it. They don't understand it, you see. But with practice, you get better. And you can learn to give more and give more often. And listen to me. We teach the pursuit of excellence down on the job. We have every kind of seminar in the world in our churches. We have ladies' seminars. We have men's seminars. We have youth seminars. I think it's a tragedy when it comes to the money. We have a don't ask, don't tell policy. How in the world are our young people ever going to learn to give excellently if somebody doesn't teach them? Don't ever get upset with your preacher about preaching that, you see. We need to be challenged individually, and we need to be challenged as a church to be stretched in our giving. Now, you're in a position right now with the transition, 2 years behind us, or three. The economy's all goofed up. You're in a position right now to not want to stretch your church is giving, and that'd be a very bad thing to do. You know, many, many churches hinder themselves from ever becoming what they ought to be, what their potential could be, because they don't stretch themselves in that giving. See, and so we need to understand it. Let me do another one right quick. We're to give cheerfully. Everybody knows that. That's there in verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Give you just a thought about it. God takes delight in the giver who takes delight in giving to God. Just put her down. And there's a lot of reasons for joy in giving. You know, we're investing in eternity. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. That'll bring you some joy. there is that ongoing saga, number two, of human request and divine response. He uses us to fill the needs of others. And then Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that bugged me for a long time. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Someone said, well, how can that be? Well, when we give, it blesses not just one, but blesses three. It blesses the one we give to, it blesses the giver, and it blesses God. And that's where the joy comes from. So here's my quick question on that. How many blessings do you think we've robbed ourselves of this last year because we didn't respond when there was a request? Human request, divine responses through us. Next one. Give worshipfully. 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 Acts chapter 10, and I'm probably going to stop here and we'll take off again tomorrow night. Acts chapter 10. It's just back up and get to it. It's the story of Cornelius. You're familiar with him. I'm talking about giving worshipfully. Acts chapter 10. It's a wonderful story. And again, now we're going after something else every time we get here, and we just miss a whole lot of stuff. So we'll go from the beginning. And a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now look, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on them, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Man, you're talking about high worship. All he's doing was praying and giving. And God stuck it in there. Thy prayers and thine alms have come up before God. You know, I'd like to do something today that I know would come up before God before the sun set. Thy prayers and an act of worship. An amazing thing. And I'm going to stop there because the pastor has some things to talk about. We'll take up here. We'll do part two tomorrow if you'll come back. And it can't get any worse. It has to get better. And if we don't get through tomorrow night, we'll go to part three Wednesday night. But we need to get straight on this. Now let's look at it for just a moment before we close. Guidelines for giving. Number one, give. Number two, give generously. Number three, give regularly. Number four, give deliberately. Number five, give voluntarily. Number six, give with excellency. Number seven, give cheerfully. Number eight, give worshipfully. Here's the question. Here's the invitation. How are you doing in these biblical guidelines? You need to ask God to turn that searchlight on, and to know your heart about it. You need to talk to God about getting some help, because you know that's what the Bible says. And we ought to position ourselves there. We ought to get ourselves in a position for God to bless us. I'm going to pray. When I finish praying, we'll have an invitation song. The pastor will come and direct the invitation and the following part of the service. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the guidelines. How sad that we don't want to talk about that high act of worship. How wonderful that when Cornelius prayed and gave alms, they came up before you. I pray tonight for every person here that struggles, that every person here that's still fighting the battle of who it belongs to, would you deal with our hearts, speak to us, let us not take lightly the meeting. Mature us. Make us a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together.